right, welcome back, everybody. This is Mary Goyer, your host, for yet another segment on the Pay It Forward Project for pregnant women, supporting you with pregnancy and birth and the postpartum period. And I'm super excited to get into our talk today. I know I say this every time, but today's topic is definitely one that I think is under addressed and that more people experience than anybody realizes, and that's painful sex. And particularly today, we're going to talk about when sex is painful during that postpartum period after baby. And so I'm going to bring on our guest in just a second, our expert. I want to just give her a quick introduction. We're going to be speaking with Jessica Drummond. And let me just tell you a little bit about her, because she has a really interesting set of offerings for not just this topic, but anything related to pelvic health and hormonal healing. So she's the founder and the CEO of Custom Hormone Healing and the Integrative Pelvic Health Institute. And she helps women with endometriosis, PCOS, bladder pain, low libido, hormonal imbalances, period pain, the list goes on and on. But for the purposes of today, we're going to be talking about these pregnancy-related pelvic and sex-related conditions. So she's had a wealth of experience in all of these realms as a pelvic physical therapist and so forth. And in fact, I'm sure she's going to share her website later. Definitely take a look, especially at her story. It's really fascinating how she came into this work. But Jessica, you're on the big mic. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here with us today to talk about sex. So
thank you so much for having me.
I think that there's a couple of pieces that you bring to this conversation and that are super important. And just in general, I'm curious, do you find that a lot of the people that come to you assume that the numbers are lower than they really are as far as how common painful sex is just in general?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is not something that we have great statistics on, but it's certainly something that's not really talked about very much. Mm-hmm. You know, really, women don't feel very comfortable saying things, you know, even to their doctors, that mm-hmm. sex is painful, because there's a lot of shame around it for many women. And particularly, you know, postpartum, the focus is really on the baby and the health of the baby, and moms can be really tired. And depending on the kind of relationship situation they're in, you know, women can feel judged. So it's definitely mm-hmm. a topic that is under discussed, even in
yeah.
clinical offices. Yeah.
Even in clinical offices. Yeah. You know, I find that that I've got within my clients, as this topic comes up, there's a lot of that shame that you mentioned, the sort of this idea that like something's wrong with me. And so they sort of just try to power through mm-hmm. the problem, and sort of like they want to have sex.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Badly yeah. enough that they, and they also really often, seem to want to please their partner and, you know, still connect intimately with their partner. And so there's all kinds of, like, threads that come into it. So anyway,
yes.
I'm really glad to have a chance to kind of bring this out into the open and say, like, you know, if you're experiencing this, you are by no means in the minority, you know. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, so speaking of, so, like, I'm curious, how quickly – should women expect to feel normal and pain-free just in general after birth? Like, what, you know, as we're just sort of setting expectations, what kinds of frameworks can you give women to think about pain-free sex postpartum?
Right. Well, you know, this is highly variable. And I think the impression is that women should, at their 6-week, you know, OBGYN follow-up when everything is sort of declared normal and they're about, you know, they're given the green light to go back to having sex, that women feel like by at that point they should feel normal and pain and sex should kind of go back to normal. But I would argue a couple of things. Number one, in to some extent, you're not back to normal. Your body has changed significantly, particularly if this is your first baby. And even if it's not your first baby, you know, perhaps you had a different birth experience this time than you did last time. You know, each birth experience is unique. And so it's really common, plus depending on whether you're nursing or not, your hormonal landscape is not bounced back to normal at 6 weeks. And even if you aren't nursing, it's not. It usually takes kind of a rough guideline of about 3 months. And then if you are nursing, your postpartum hormones don't revert back to sort of the pre-pregnancy hormonal landscape until, you know, again, kind of a guideline of about 3 months post-nursing. So for many women, that can be years. And then if you've had any kind of physical birth trauma to the pelvic floor, you know, a lot of times women have episiotomies or they have tears or they have this pelvic floor muscle injury or they have pelvic girdle, you know, the joints of the pelvis, the pubic symphysis, which is the joint kind of at the very low part right over the pubic hair, and even joints in the hips or the lower back, you know, any kind of, if you think about it, you know, orthopedically, birth, especially the way we tend to do it in the U.S., which is kind of on your back and with your legs up and pushing against gravity, there's a lot of, you know, potential injury that could happen there. And so, you know, in some countries, not in the U.S., but in some countries, you have like, you know, government-funded postpartum healing to the entire pelvis by pelvic floor physical therapists. And, you know, because it's like any, it's kind of an injury. You know, I don't like to look at birth as an injury because birth is a normal process, but tissues can be injured, and and what women experience from birth to birth, from person to person, is widely variable. You know, there are medications involved, there are surgeries involved. Even if you had a C-section, you can have your pelvic floor can be overstretched or inflamed just from carrying the baby for 9 months. So there's a whole lot that can go on that needs recovery. I always used to say to my C-section patients when I was working in pelvic floor physical therapy in the hospitals that, you know, C-sections are the only abdominal surgery where you're not given any rehab and you're given like a helpless infant to go home and take care of yourself. Right?
Wow. Yeah. That kind of brings it home, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's no like normal. And then some women have very healthy and pleasurable, enjoyable birth experiences. Their tissues come through it well, you know, and at 6 weeks they feel perfectly fine having sex. So I don't want to make that a rare problem, you know, like a problem either. I mean, that can be perfectly fine, but it's unusual that at 6 weeks women jump right back into having sex and feel perfectly fine with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that helps a lot. I feel like that just that answer about how variable it is and all the factors that are involved really, really, hopefully if for those of you that are listening right now, that's giving you permission to really check in with what were the circumstances of your birth. And even pre-birth, like you're saying, there's a lot of, you know, some, I mean, we can talk just about the hormones.
Right.
Conversation, but anyways, I just really appreciate the permission that your answer gives to women to just allow their experience to be and their body to be the guide versus these ideas that are kind of vague and we don't even know where they come from, like 6 weeks. You know, clock.
Right. 6 weeks, you're better. Go home. Yeah. Go back to work and
exactly.
Lose the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if a woman is experiencing painful sex, say months
or even years, you know, after the birth of her baby, you know, and so that happens. What can she do in that case to reduce the pain, or, you know, should she just accept this as her new normal?
She should not accept it as her new normal, even though it may take some time and some conservative intervention to improve the functioning of her pelvic floor and pelvic tissues and her hormonal landscape. There's a lot that she can do. So we can walk through a few different scenarios. So, for example, if she did have a tear or an episiotomy and she's having, like, painful penetration, just really kind of obvious, like, pain right there at that spot where there was an injury, pelvic floor physical therapy is absolutely a great place to start. She can get, I mean, essentially pelvic floor physical therapists are trained to do hands-on manual therapy work to the tissues of the pelvic floor, just like they would to the tissues of any other part of your body. So if there's scarring there, if there are muscle spasms, and sometimes the pain is not just right where the injury is, just like anywhere else, it can refer. So the pain might be a little more vaguely in the lower abdomen or lower pelvis or one hip or another or in the back. But the pain can be coming from the muscles and tissues of the pelvic floor. Just like sometimes if you have a headache, the pain is actually sort of originating in the muscles of the neck and shoulders. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that kind of pain with sex can come just from real kind of specific orthopedic injury kind of stuff. And that can be addressed really well by pelvic floor physical therapists. Another thing that women sometimes don't consider is that postpartum, your estrogen levels are really low. And that's normal, especially for women who are nursing. But when you have low estrogen levels, essentially you have the vagina and vaginal tissues, I mean vulvar tissues, of a postmenopausal woman. So they can be a little bit shriveled and, you know, the tissues themselves are thinning and just weakened. They're not kind of puffy. And so that can make sex feel like more like the sandpaper experience. You know, the tissues just feel really raw and not lubricated. You'll lose a lot of lubrication. So in that case, changing sexual position, certainly like woman on top, so you can have a lot more control. Definitely using lubricants can help a lot. Again, pelvic floor physical therapy. And in some cases, you know, again, depending on if you're nursing or not, seeing your gynecologist for localized estrogen just to the vaginal tissues can help. Eating foods that increase estrogen. And one of the best ways to think about increasing your estrogen nutritionally is that the body essentially makes sex hormones and stress hormones from the same raw materials and the same pathways. So if you are under a lot of stress, either physical stress, because you're like eating a lot of inflammatory foods like sugar and, fried stuff, things like that, or you've got food sensitivities and you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, which things that are really common are things like gluten and dairy and soy and eggs, things like that. If you're eating foods that are inflaming your whole body, your body is going to be under this sort of low-level chronic stress that's going to take away its ability to make healthy sex hormones. And that also stays true for women that are under a lot of emotional stress, which is, okay, like every postpartum woman, right? The more we can do to kind of build, even before you have your baby, build support networks and things like that so that you can have you kind of come home to that time period where you've got some extra set of hands, you lower your expectations of yourself, you know, see how much space you can get from your returning to full-time work. And these kinds of things make a big difference literally to your ability to have sex postpartum. So that kind of sums up. So if you have either like a birth injury or you have a lot of physical or emotional stress, there are some things you can do. I'm trying to think. The other thing that can happen is you actually can have like a birth trauma. Like, your birth didn't right. go the way it was expected. You know, you didn't mm-hmm. emotionally really feel like it went well. And that can also really impact women, and that can really be addressed by a combination of addressing the physical with a pelvic floor physical therapist and addressing the nutritional aspects of that, but also mm-hmm. considering sex therapy or psychotherapy
yes.
to, you mm-hmm. know, address the underlying emotional trauma, because you can't always just think your way out of that, if that makes
yeah.
sense.
Absolutely. In fact, that's very much in alignment with what I teach. I mean, like, two things that sparks for me. One is that, you know, a lot of the people that I'm working with, I work with from the preconception, you know, through the fertility journey. So people that are struggling to either get pregnant or carry full-term pregnancies initially experience even more difficulties around sex and so forth, because they often see that there's distance and you know, just different issues in sex and in stress, you know, in the first place. And so when they are able to get pregnant, you know, that's one of the major things that we're focusing on, is getting them back to that place where they feel like they're in fullness and ease again after that difficult fertility journey. Because, as you said, you know, like, there's a whole other, you know, level of, you know, all these things that are still coming their way as mothers, you know.
Right. And, you know, certainly going back, a lot of times people, certainly in those situations or any others, go through birth not really with, like, their relationship in very good condition.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be hard to get back to intimacy, particularly if it's physically painful, because, you know, a lot of times when I was working in hands-on physical therapy, I would have the, you know, spouse come in, or the partner, and really just kind of see what's going on a nuts and bolts level, so they can adjust things like sexual positioning, or they can reestablish language so that a woman can feel really comfortable that when she says a certain word, her partner is going to stop, no matter, you know, what
yeah.
time, what point in the sexual relationship there, or the sexual experience that they're in,
mm-hmm.
which can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know in many cases men are not intending to rape their wives, but this feeling that the woman feels really strong and being like, oh, can you just stop right now? It's like, she doesn't want to say it if it's like a, kind of the wrong time. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
So
yes.
kind of reestablishing intimate communication and consent, even within marriage relationships, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
people don't understand. Women don't look at their pelvic floor, even if they've had birth. You know, it's really, they're not really comfortable with the anatomy and physiology of their pelvic floor. So men and partners are even less understanding and comfortable of the anatomy and physiology. So there's that. And then there's the intimacy factor of both
mm-hmm.
communication, comfort, you know, feeling like the relationship is very strong. And of course, babies, you know, are challenging to relationships also.
Right. Right. There's so many pieces here. And I don't know if you're familiar with Naomi Wolf's book, Vagina. But
I haven't read it, but I have heard of it. Yes.
Yeah, she just it's kind of a meta analysis of a lot of just different research, and it's, that was the second thing that what you have been talking about is really making me think about, is just how she essentially throughout the whole book talks about all of the ways in which different traumas, whether they're sex related or whether they get triggered during birth because, you know, of course, the impact of birth on the vagina, and just, she just talks about how the vagina holds trauma in a very particular kind of way. And
mm-hmm.
Anyways, I mean, like, I'm actually thinking about teaching just kind of a class on some of what she shares, or doing like a book report or something like that, because it's absolutely the implications for birth and for pelvic floor health are huge, and you're really touching on some of them in terms of what you're saying. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's important for women to understand that there are physical aspects of this and emotional aspects because of what you just
mm-hmm.
said. You know,
mm-hmm.
the that first, you know, the vagina, that area of the body holds emotional trauma, holds past trauma. And sometimes there was just, like I said, kind of like an injury during birth that we tend to ignore. We tend to think that birth is like, you know, women go to the hospital, they come home with a baby, 6 weeks later, they lose the baby weight, go back to work. But it's really not like that at all.
Right. Well, so what we're talking about kind of brings me as a good segue into my next question. You know, so what if sex isn't exactly painful per se, but a woman's libido is kind of shot and she just feels overwhelmed, you know, she's not into sex, even maybe months after her baby is born. Like, do you have any suggestions on how to, you know, kind of recover that lost libido and maintain intimacy?
I do. And I think the first thing is that idea of really kind of understanding that idea that the body makes sex hormones and stress hormones on the same pathways kind of from the same materials. So how anything a woman can do and her partner can do and her community can do to help lower her stress level physically and emotionally will give her the her body's ability to recover those lost sex hormones. If the body can't make them, it's really hard to feel desire if her testosterone levels and her estrogen levels are really, really low. And then I think the second thing, and women can contribute to that too, by recognizing that self-care during the postpartum period, you know, they're very focused on their babies, they're very focused on taking care of the baby, which is really important, but also trying to ease the burden of guilt or expectation that they put on themselves and really take care of themselves during that period of time. And then I think the second piece is just the, especially if, you know, assuming the relationship is healthy and they don't, she doesn't need any psychological trauma support, really women and relationships tend to become distant because there's just lack of attention to it. There's so much work to do around, you know, taking care of a newborn baby, and a woman is often really tired because she's up all night when the baby's eating all night and things like that. But just small bits of attention to the relationship to just maintain kind of that bridge of intimacy makes it much easier, because then when you do have the physical, you know, let's say one evening you actually have like a little breather, you know, the baby's asleep, you feel physically okay, you know, you've eaten well for a few weeks, you've had a couple of nights of good sleep, and you get like a little burst of desire. It's hard to act on that if you emotionally feel distant from your partner. So just keeping those little, that little bridge alive, so that if those opportunities present themselves, it doesn't feel as awkward and you just, you know, you take advantage, really. And I think the other thing is finding ways to express intimacy and also to receive it. One thing that women tend to be challenged by is we're really good at caregiving, but it feels weakening to care receive. And in that time frame, you know, a lot of times the partner just really wants to do something to help and really has the best of intentions, but kind of all of his or her, you know, advances or gifts are sort of not accepted well, not received well, because a woman feels like she shouldn't need that kind of help, you know, if she doesn't want to feel weak. But the practice of receiving help and caregiving and, you know, compliments, you know, oh, but my body, I've still got so much weight. I receive those things. It's helpful for maintaining intimacy and also giving the body that calmness that it needs to build the sex hormones.
Wow, Jessica, I mean, like, all of those points that you are sharing, I mean, this is very content rich, and I'm sure that those of you listening, you might want to even circle back around and just make sure you get these nuances, because each of these are huge, really huge topics in and of themselves, just really helpful. Thank you for all these recommendations. It's a very holistic approach. I can tell that you're
Oh, you're so welcome. Here. Yeah. I think it's much experience.
So, Jessica, for
people that are interested in learning more, I'm sure there are some women that this is the first time that they've even heard that there is such a thing as, you know, pelvic floor physical therapy, and the first time they've kind of made some of these connections. For people that want to connect the dots even further, how might they connect with you or learn more about what you do?
Yeah, so there's a website called it's integrativepelvichealthinstitute.com, and there I do a lot of professional training. So I train other professionals. There are resource lists that are growing of the professionals that I've trained and where they work around the country. We have a strong active class right now that will graduate in a few months that will add quite a bit to that list. And then my private practice is at customhormonehealing.com, where I do work one-on-one with patients. I do more of the coaching and nutrition work now, but I definitely have colleagues all over the world. So if people do need hands-on physical therapy, I consult and refer to people, you know, where they are. So, yeah.
Beautiful. So integrativepelvichealthinstitute.com. And then will you repeat the second website as well?
Yeah. And then the patient practice is at customhormonehealing.com.
Customhormonehealing.com. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Well, we went a little over our expected time, but I couldn't help myself. And there was so much. I feel like this is the tip of the iceberg as it was. But
yeah.
Thank you again for being here, and thank you everybody that's listening as well. I know that I sign off with this every time, but it is my firm and sincere belief that by you listening and you learning what you can learn from all of these experts, this is how we heal the planet, by empowering ourselves during birth. This is, you know, not only huge for women and the way that we impact other women, but obviously passes down that empowerment inheritance to all of the babies being born. So please forward this information to any friends that might find it helpful. There's so many insights and gems on my end from all that Jessica shared. So please do pay it forward if you haven't already. And Jessica, such a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was absolutely my pleasure. My pleasure.
You are welcome. You're welcome. And we'll see you all on the next call. Thanks so much.